Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Welcome to the What to Read Next podcast. In this podcast, your host, Lori and me, will invite a bookish guest to share their favorite book recommendation. If you share a passion for books and always looking for your next read, then join us. Welcome to the What to Read Next podcast. Today's bookish guest is Kimi from Smexy Book Blog and One Kimi Lay Instagram account. Hi, Kimi.
Hi, Laura.
Happy to have you here. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here. And so just a little bit about me. So I've been reading romance for about 10 years, and I started on as a reviewer at Smexy Books about 4.5 years ago. And last December, Mandy, who had been running it for almost 10 years, decided that she didn't want to keep doing it. She has teenagers. It's a lot of work to run a book blog. And so I jumped at the chance to take over as kind of, I refer to myself as the operator of it. Mm-hmm. So I still review books, read books, try to find content for the site, for readers. We specialize in romance, obviously, and pretty much any genre within it, but we're kind of a small crew these days, and we tend to end up reading just like contemporary, historical, and some paranormal. But we're always open to hearing from authors across all genres, as long as it's in romance. Mm-hmm. And we welcome all readers, and I just love being part of the community.
I love it. And so how did you get involved being a reviewer? What sparked that interest?
Sure. So I had for a long time been reading a couple of big blogs in the genre, like Dear Author, Smart Bitches, Trashy Books. I was a reader of Smexy Books before I joined the crew. And then like Scandalicious, that was another big blog that I was reading pretty regularly. And I had seen Mandy at a local book event. I live in Maryland. And so I was like, oh my goodness, she lives local to me. Like, I was so perplexed and excited about this, because until about like 2014, like, I thought that I was the only person reading romance. I didn't know that there was this whole online community. Mm-hmm. So I was just so excited. And so, as is my kind of MO, like, I was following Mandy. I started like commenting on the blog all the time. I was like interacting with her. And so I kind of joke about it that like I made her be my friend. Mm-hmm. And then, and because I love talking about books, like they make me so happy. I just am so interested in them and the stories that they tell and the stories that they can help us see about ourselves. And so, excuse me. So, she asked me to do a review. Like, she was like, would you like to be a guest reviewer for me? And I was like, I'd love to. And so I did a couple of reviews and she pulled me on like full time, if you will. And it was really exciting because prior to that, I had written a couple of reviews. But like for somebody starting out, like it can be, you know, a little discouraging to like write a review and then like two people see it. So, to have like a bigger audience was just fantastic. And, I love it. I love talking about books. It like makes me so happy.
I love it. So you mentioned you're a woman's reader for about 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
What sparked you to start reading the genre? What was the gateway drug?
Sure. So I have always been a reader since I was a kid. You know, reading has always been a huge escape for me. So, I had a kid, 23 years ago. And so I kind of took some time off from reading. And as my son got older, I started reading again. And I was reading a lot of, like what the best term, which I don't really like, but it's a good recognizable term, is women's fiction. Mm-hmm. So, you know, stories centered around women and their journeys. Mm-hmm. So I got a Nook and that pretty much changed my life. Yeah, because you can like buy books and like in the middle of the night.
Yes.
You don't have to go anywhere. Yes. And nobody has to see what you're reading.
Yes.
You know, because the reader that I was 10 years ago is not the same reader that I am today. And so I was reading a lot of women's fiction, and it was really starting to add up financially. Like, there are traditionally more trade paperbacks where they're costing $10, $13 a book. Mm-hmm. And so I started looking on like the Nook options for like lower priced books. Mm-hmm. And so for a while I was kind of reading like, they weren't quite women's fiction, but they weren't quite romance.
Okay.
This kind of like gray area of books. They were really enjoyable to me, but they were at a lower price point. They were only available digitally, at least that I knew of. Like Susan Mallory, there's this author, I think her name is like Susan Anderson or Stephanie Anderson or something like that. And then the turning point was when I read a couple of books by Jennifer Kruse. Mm. So I'm not sure if you've ever read Jennifer Kruse,
yeah.
But you have?
No, I have not.
This okay. So she's super fast-paced and witty, and they're feminist. I mean, they're not perfect. A lot of them are written in like the early to mid 90s. So if you look at them from the lens today, maybe there's some problems with them. But at the time, I really, really enjoyed them. And they have happily ever afters. And I was like, these are the books that I need to be reading all the time.
Mm.
Where these smart people fall in love. They maybe have sex. Maybe they don't. Maybe they do some stuff that's really silly, or maybe they don't, but, you know, so I really got into it, and then I learned more about the genre, because when I, like, take on something, I feel like I need to know everything about it. Mm-hmm. So I learned more about, like, the conventions of the genre, where, you know, really, truly what makes a romance is the love story is central to the plot, mm-hmm. and then it ends with happily ever after. And I just love opening up a book and knowing that I know how it's going to end. I mean, I don't know exactly how it's going to end, but I know that the people are going to fall in love. They're going to maybe have some problems. They are going to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end, they're going to be together.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like perfect.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
I love it. So now let's talk about romance.
Okay.
Let's talk about romance tropes. What is your favorite romance trope?
My favorite romance trope. Okay. So one of my absolute favorites, and I'm prepared to give you a recommendation on this trope,
mm-hmm.
is I call it kind of like an unrequited love,
mm-hmm.
where the one main character has always kind of loved the other character from afar.
Yeah.
But for some reason, they can't be together. So my example on this is On Broken Wings by Chanel Clayton.
Mm.
And this is one of like the saddest books I've ever read, because the hero, he loves the heroine from afar, and it's not a spoiler alert, but it happens in one of the previous books that the heroine's husband dies as a result of a military accident.
Okay.
So he befriends her, and he's always loved her, but he takes on this role of being her best friend. But he thinks he's not good enough for her. And like, there's nothing that gets me more than like a hero or a heroine, but particularly a hero that feels like they're not good enough for the other person, when we as the reader know that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have to like work through that and accept that, you know, they're worthy of love. But so this book is fantastic. It's like so angsty, but it's really good.
TBR. So I actually like Chanel Clayton's writing, and that series is actually one of the few series I have not read.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I'm going to pick it up now, thanks to your recommendation. It's like, okay.
Yeah, it's really good. Then some of my other favorite tropes are Marriage of Convenience.
Oh, I love it.
I mean, it's so silly, and like,
yeah.
It feels like in real life it would never work,
mm-hmm.
But somehow it does in the books, and mm-hmm. it's just, I love it. And kind of like an offshoot of that is like Fake Engagement, or, mm-hmm. You know, there's a ton of them. I did like a quick search to be prepared, and one of my favorites came up, The Wall of Winnipeg and Me by Mariana Zapata.
Yeah, so good. So good.
Yes, exactly. And then because of my own life as a single parent, I'm really drawn to books that feature single parents. Mm-hmm. There's a ton of them out there. So I couldn't think of just one, but that's another favorite trope.
A good single parent book is Down Too Deep, where both are single parents, both the hero and the heroine.
Oh, yes. I read that recently, and I did really like, I didn't love the book, but I did really like the single parent aspect of it. And also that had another favorite trope of mine. I am really twisted, but I really like a widow or a widower. Mm. There's just something about that trope that I really enjoy.
So how about your least favorite romance trope?
So probably my least favorite trope is enemies to lovers. Yeah, I know that people really like it, but a lot of times enemies to lovers, they're really like antagonistic.
Yeah.
And that really stresses me out.
Okay.
So I just am like, I can't really read this.
It's understandable. I think I like enemies to lovers when it's in a series. Mm-hmm. You see them bicker for like a few books into it, and then they combust. They have the chemistry combusting together.
So
that's like my ideal enemies to lovers. It just needs to be in a series. It needs to be like multiple books, and it needs to be, and it doesn't have to be bully. It just means like they just bicker.
Yeah, I can see that. And I think in that case, enemies to lovers would work a little better for me. Mm-hmm. It's just sometimes like in one book, it can be really hard to display like why they dislike each other without making them too mean to each other.
Yeah, I think so. I think, or it just goes too fast. It goes from like, I hate you to I love you.
Right.
Like, it's like this whiplash. Mm-hmm. Like, wait, what just happened? Did I just read a second book or something?
Right.
So, yeah.
And ultimately I need to be able to believe in it. Right. Yeah. Like it can have elements of like fantasy and unbelievability to it, but at, like the core, the love, the affection, like I need to be able to believe that that would actually happen.
Mm-hmm. Right. So what kind of genre do you like about romance? Like which one? Contemporary, historical, paranormal, fantasy, dark, etc.
Mm-hmm. So I read contemporary almost exclusively.
Okay. And then what have been some of your favorite books of this year that are within this genre?
Sure. So I just did a post recently on Smexy, so this shouldn't have been too hard for me to figure out, but somehow it was. But one of my absolute favorite books this year was Thirsty by Mia Hopkins.
Hmm.
And it features the hero. It's from the hero point of view only. So I think we don't see that a lot. It can be really difficult to get into that headspace, I think, as a reader and probably as a writer. But I like something a little different every now and again. But the hero of the story, Eddie, he is a previous gang member. And when the story opens up, he's been out of prison for not a very long time. And he falls in love, and it's fantastic. And I think one of the things about it that really drew me to it and has it as one of my favorites of this year is that I feel like it really encompasses what this genre is about. Mm-hmm. And that you don't have to look a certain way. You don't have to be a quote unquote like good person. Mm-hmm. You can have made mistakes. And maybe you will make them again. and you don't have to have a lot of money, and you don't have to have like, you know, love and love stories shouldn't be for only like one kind of person. We're all deserving of love if that's what we want. And so it's nice to see that, you know, portrayed in a media, because I think a lot of times we kind of get a different message about it.
Yeah, so true.
Hmm. but not quite as heavy as that, but also still really enjoyable. One of my other books that was really good this year was The Bromance Book Club by Lissa K. Adams. I'm not sure if you've read that.
I did. It was so good.
Yes. And then I also really, really liked The Mysterious Stranger by Ainsley Patton.
Oh, what is that a book about?
So Ainsley writes, I don't really even know how to describe her voice. And I think that it's really, she can be a difficult voice for some readers. Mm-hmm. And I totally get that. But this Mysterious Stranger, so the hero and heroine have to infiltrate a doomsday cult.
Oh, okay.
Right. So it's, I know it's kind of like, oh, okay, but they're friends. So it's a friends to lovers. And okay. So while they're at this cult and they are pretending to be other people, they have to put on this facade of being these other people. And then they're also falling in love. So I really enjoyed it. And the hero is kind of like a cinnamon roll. So kind of like soft on the inside. Where he may present to others maybe as like an alpha, but he's really soft and gooey, and that's the kind of heroes I really love.
I love a good cinnamon roll as a hero.
Yeah.
They're like the best.
Yes, absolutely.
Awesome. So what are some of your most anticipated new releases for 2020 that you're looking at?
There are so many fantastic sounding books coming out in 2020. Mm-hmm. This is like so hard to even scale down, but Berkeley has a fantastic slate of books coming out next year. Mm-hmm. I'm so excited about a lot of them. I think HarperCollins / Avon's, they have a ton. I mean, they all do. But so three of my most anticipated reads next year. So, Real Men Knit by Quanah Jackson. The Hero Knits, I think he and his brothers or something like that. I also knit, so I'm really excited to see how she incorporates knitting, and traditionally men don't knit or we don't talk about it as much. Mm-hmm. So I'll be excited to see that. Then Something to Talk About by Meryl Wilsner. That's out in the May, I believe, and it's the first female book by Berkeley in trade paperback or something like that. So it's kind of a big deal, but I'm really, really excited about that. And then, let's see, Kristen Ashley has a new one out with Forever in the spring called Dreammaker, and I cut my romance teeth on Kristen Ashley, and I can't quit her. So I'm really excited about it.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I got books to look forward to.
Yes.
So exciting.
Yes.
So what's your books you read over the past few months you worked on?
So this was really tough because I feel like the last couple of weeks I haven't read a ton of, you know, the books that I've read have just been like so-so. But first up, not a romance, but still very, very enjoyable. And something very different for me was The Wives by Taryn Fisher. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure if you're familiar with Fisher, but she writes a lot of like twisty, unreliable characters. Yeah. And this
I heard really good things about her, but I haven't read her books.
Yeah, it's worth she's, again, not a romance, so, you know, there's maybe a little bit of a hint of a love story in this one, but that's not really what it's about. Mm-hmm. But it was just a really engaging read, which for me sometimes, because I have so much going on, sometimes I like to read a little bit out of the genre and just kind of get pulled into it. Mm-hmm. So that was really fun. Let's see here. The Eight Kisses anthology. It's a Hanukkah anthology. There were a couple within there that I really enjoyed. One by Michelle Mars. It was kind of erotic, and the hero he works for a tech company, and the heroine, she's on like a dating app, and they meet up and they fall in love really quickly. And, you know, it's a novella, but it was fun. And I really love anything that has to do with like, online dating.
Yeah.
Then it's been a while, but back in October, I read The Widow of Rose House by Diana Biller.
Mm-hmm.
Have you read that?
No, I have not. It's on my TBR.
The TBR.
Is it Gilded Age, I think?
Yes, it's like late 1870s.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and it's in the U.S., and it's in New York City in and around New York, and the heroine is a widower,
mm-hmm.
and she's kind of scorned, like there's some kind of mystery around how her husband died, and, you know, she is part of, like, the society, and so people treat her differently now, but she doesn't care, and she comes back to the States, and she buys this house that may or may not have a ghost in it, and this scientist, he wants to study it because he's studying ghosts and the paranormal, and he is so fantastic to her, and he, like, she's nervous about being with somebody else and how it'll be perceived because she's this scorned widow, I don't know which one's right, but, and all this other stuff. And he's like, I, will be here to support you and I'm not going to pressure you. But I think you're magnificent and I wish that you would see that about yourself and just all these like reaffirming things that who wouldn't want a man or a partner to say those kinds of things to them. But I loved it.
Yeah, I'm going to add it on. I was looking for Gilded Age books set in the U.S. Like, I really love that setting. So I think this will be a good one to
read. Yeah, I think so. And I haven't read any of Joanna Shoup's, but I've heard really good things. Have you read her?
Yes, I have. I read both her new book and the one before that.
Okay.
And she's great. I love it. It's a strong heroine, really sassy, really enterprising.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think the book that came out today, The Prince of Broadway, I think, her heroine wants to run her own casino. So she's, like, going to different casinos and trying to get some experience. And she's like, I'm just going to set my own shop. Like, she's like, I don't want to have a man to just take, you know, to define me.
Mm-hmm.
And it was definitely like strong feminist point of view, set in the late 1800s, or early 1900s, late 1800s.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Part of the reason why I don't read historical is I'm not really interested in like Regency or Victorian London. It really just doesn't get me excited.
Yeah.
And I think that like the late 1800s, the early 1900s, it's kind of like an underserved, especially US, in the US, it's kind of an underserved like time where we don't see a lot of romances.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah. I wish there were more.
So I would say Maya Rudolph has this Curious Two set in the 1890s. So both of them, Joanna Shoup and Maya, are both set in 1890, around the same time period.
Okay.
And they both are great. Maya's series features strong female who are entrepreneurs. So the first one's a dressmaker. The second one is a makeup and a face cream. And then the third book is about a department store. And then the male are supporting the women in their business.
Mm-hmm.
And there's strong female friendships, there's strong, like, a sense of, like, we're going to work on this together. And I love the set in New York. Like, it's not just titled, like, you know, like, you're a duke and you should be known for this.
Mm-hmm.
It's less about that. It's more about, like, work, you know, making money, getting to be known, getting to find purpose in your life. So I really love both series for that reason.
I am writing those down because, you know, I think that strong feminist heroines, supporting heroes, they really sell books for me. But something else that is like really, really helps me sell a book or sells a book to me is when you say that there are strong female friendships in a book.
Mm-hmm.
I am all over it.
Yeah. Me too. I always look friendship or strong females, just strong female characters.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's like my go-to. And if they're sappy heroines, if they're entrepreneurs, if they have like a side hustle, I love it. Because it's just, it shows like they're more than their romance. Like, it's more like they have a full life. They're here not just to be mothers. They're here to be, you know, to have a purpose and to feel like they're fulfilled.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, not to get like on my feminist high horse here, but I think that's part of it. Like, as women, we're sold this type of like, I don't know, media tries to tell us that like these are the things that we should do or be or whatever. And, you know, that's not always true. We can be whatever we want, whenever we want. And, you know, it takes more than just falling in love, you know, in these books to accomplish those types of things. And, you know, sometimes it's nice to read a book where the heroine or the main couple kind of live in a bubble and they fall in love. But more so, I enjoy seeing them live full lives where they have jobs or families or friends or, you know, something else that makes them ready to live their lives, you know, because I know that this genre is built on the happily ever after and that we know that they're going to be together at the end, but also they should be able to stand on their own.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I think that's what I love for romance. Like, I think that's why I was surprised about the genre when they started reading it.
Mm-hmm.
I thought in my head, especially historical romance, I was actually anti-historical romance for a long time because I felt I was like, you know, it's not feminist, it's just like, you know, it's just all about falling in love, like what happens to the rest of the life, what happens to them. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I discovered historical this year and I started looking for, you know, those feminist themes, those modern themes. Like, you know, I wanted to see women just to live a full life, not just the romance, not just, you know, the romantic relationship.
Right.
You know, or just being a mother.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So if you're looking for if you're not a big in historical, I would say try to build the age in New York. It's just it's an interesting time period. And there's like, I think there's a little bit of everything there.
All right. I'll definitely check it out.
Awesome. So what books are your TBR?
Well, my TBR is a mountain. So I tried to do like a quick peek, and because I'm reviewing, I'm like currently trying to read some January books. Mm-hmm. There's a ton of books coming out in January.
Yeah.
But you know, trying to get through them and review. But like right now I'm reading a book that's out at the end of January. I think it's called Then, Now, Always by Mona Shroff. So the hero and heroine are both Indian, like South Asian Indian. So that's the first time that I've seen that. I'm not saying that it doesn't exist. I'm just saying it's the first time that I've read it. Oh, outside of, that's not true. I think I've read Sonali Dev. So,
okay.
Right. But this is in like a more contemporary type setting. Mm-hmm. It's like a mass market paperback. There's a secret baby, which is also one of my favorite tropes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And secret baby kind of goes hand in hand with second chance romance. Yeah. So I just started it, but so far it's off to a good start.
Okay.
And then also on my TBR that I intend to read, hopefully this week, which is also New Year's Eve, I have two stories by Kat Jackson. I believe they're both kind of like romance / erotica or erotic romance, which I don't read a ton of, so this will be different.
Okay.
But one's called Every New Year and then Grand Theft New Year's Eve.
Ooh.
So, yes.
I love it.
Yes.
That's awesome. So where can we find you online?
So you can find me online. I post reviews at Smexy Books, and that's just smexybooks.com. So SmexyBooks.com. Then let's see, I'm on Twitter all the time. And let me get my Twitter handle for you. That is this. I should know this off the top of my head, but I don't. So my Twitter handle is at KiniLei1. So that's KiniLei1. And like I said, I'm always on Twitter talking about books. And then I'm on Instagram at 1KiniLei. So that's at the number 1, KiniLei. I'm in Maryland, so I try to go to events in and around the area, and I almost always wear my little pin that has my name and my avatar picture on it. Aww. And I love talking to people about books. I'm like an introvert until I start talking about books.
Me too. <I'm laughs>
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Thank you, King, for the Wellness Recommendation.
Oh yeah, you're welcome. I hope that listeners, you know, find something that they're looking for. And if not, like I said, find me online and tell me, you know, I'm happy to give more recommendations if you tell me a trope or kind of what you're looking for, and I'll help anybody out.
Awesome. Thank you so much. So if you enjoyed this podcast, please consider leaving a review on iTunes. This is the best way to support this podcast. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode. Have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyoureadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.